later on today, we'll talk to Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. Mike, if you expected to listen to Scott Sharp at 9:30, no. 9 o'clock.
Really?
Right.
Oh, I see that.
So Jake, guys, trying to book two guys at 9:30. Like, you can't do that.
Jake can.
Jake said, "I have a great idea. We're going to have Scott Sharp and the guys from Boulevard at the same time and do a little thing called beer and baseball." I said, "Well, it might work."
Yeah, I bet it would.
And I don't know if Scott Sharp's in on that, so we'll have to
typo.
No, Scott do that.
Scott Sharp would be a happy man to talk to.
Yeah,
and let me tell you something.
Should be.
I give a tremendous amount of credit to Scott Sharp because he came on the show a lot during the season last year. And it was like, and Nate and I were like, okay.
What are we going to talk about?
What are we doing today? And then we were so thankful for the acquisition of Cole Reagans because at least that was something in the previous week we could like, hey, it's Cole Reagans. Let's talk about this trade again. How'd that come together? But it's a lot more fun for everyone involved to talk about these 7-4 Royals. How about that? And then our friends from Boulevard will be in at 9:30. But
Drunk Fest? Or just, maybe. Just, oh, okay.
Whatever you want it to be. We'll talk about some exciting things they have coming up. And so it's always good to talk to our friends from
They are great
from Boulevard,
down there.
You know? And let me tell you something, because they're the official craft beer of the Kansas City Royals,
they are.
So they're happy as well.
Yeah.
So I touched on a lot of points in the first segment about the Royals, because, look, hey, anyone that's a Royals fan or has anything to do with that team has to be super excited about what they've seen. They've won 5 in a row. The bullpen was not good the opening week, and now that's 5 straight games without giving up a run.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and I know some. Well, the White Sox, you know, it's still
you still got to beat up on the
right
bottom feeders.
And then the last night was a really, really impressive performance by the bullpen, coming in after Reagans went 5 innings. Nick Anderson, let me tell you something. Nick Anderson, when he's healthy, he's a stud. He's been a stud. He's just the health part of it's an issue. But the Royals acquired him, and if they can keep him healthy, he's going to be a good reliever. Chris Stratton was a guy that they signed as a free agent and give the assist to Will Smith because you signed Will Smith, and then they talked to Will Smith. But, hey, you know, who else? You got any ideas? Who could we recruit here that might be interested in signing with the Royals? And when Will Smith essentially told him, I'll call Chris Stratton right now, because I believe they're hunting buddies, and you know, in the off season, they have a good relationship, and so hey, Strat, Royals are looking for a reliever. What
I
do you think?
Tell you what, no matter what Will Smith did or does, he's the reason all these pitchers are here.
Well,
that's worth its weight in gold right there, because you wouldn't have got a lot of these guys to come on board. Would you come on board to a team that lost 100 games? If you didn't have somebody that you believed would make a difference?
Well, Will Smith, you know, recruiting Stratton, Seth Lugo recruiting Michael Wacha.
Yeah.
And so, you know, guys that had previous relationships that have good chemistry all coming together with the Royals. And so Stratton was part of that last night. John Schreiber, who I mentioned the Royals acquired in that trade with the Boston Red Sox in February. And then MacArthur, who showed some stuff last year, was very good and went 2 innings last night. And I asked Bloomer this yesterday. So of the relievers that you've seen so far, is there anyone that stands out to you that you like?
I like Stratton a lot.
Stratton?
Yeah, I do like Stratton a lot.
He's served a lot of different roles in the past.
Yep. Yeah, and that's what I really like about him. No matter when you're going to bring him in, he can fit that role, and he does a nice job. So I think Stratton's my out of the group, and you know they got good arms out there, and it's just a matter of this whole team. It's just a matter of staying healthy because when you get some veteran starters, you never know what can happen. There's going to be times in the year where you're going to have that little hiccup where you're aching or hurting, and you got to either pitch through it or hopefully somebody steps in to help. But if we stay healthy, like I said, I've seen every team in our division, and we're as good, if not better, than any one of them.
Cleveland lost Shane Bieber over the weekend
to
Tommy John surgery. That's a big hit.
Oh, yeah. Every place you look, there's pitchers on the IL.
Which leads
me into
the tweets. I know that you're all over Twitter.
Yeah,
maybe you've already seen them.
Yeah.
But I saw these, and I go, guess who I'm going to read these tweets to tomorrow?
Tweet.
What is that? What do you got there?
Oh,
the bunch of pens.
Yeah.
I
thought you had a big vape. I didn't know what was going on.
Not that kind of pen.
Why is Nate vaping during
vaping
a segment?
I'm not vaping.
But it looked like
you don't vape, kids.
It looked like you had one over there.
No,
it's like, I didn't realize. Boy, this guy's
inhaling dangerous metals.
Soccer's right. Really changing him. Okay.
It is, but not in that way.
Okay, so do you like Pedro Martinez?
Yeah. I like Pedro. It's all right.
I like Pedro.
Yeah.
Pedro took to Twitter because he wanted to weigh in on all these injuries.
Okay.
And I would just, look, there's certain people that I'll listen to and certain people, I'll listen to Pedro. Because in my lifetime, one of the greatest pitchers I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
When he was on,
from the time he was with Montreal and all the way through. He was unbelievable.
Very, very few you could say that were better.
Yeah.
You know, and he hip tossed Don Zimmer, and that's I don't know how much that means to you, but just like a quick, it was like a Steven Seagal, and he went.
It was like a jiu-jitsu move,
right? Very good.
You don't do jiu-jitsu anymore, do you?
No,
I didn't think so. There's no way with that body you do jiu-jitsu.
Here's what Pedro says.
Okay,
man,
you tell me what you think.
Okay,
first. When we see so many up-and-coming MLB pitchers with fewer than 200 innings in the minors, lots of muscle mass, underworked baby ligaments, and a team demanding max velocity on everything they throw, we're seeing the perfect lethal combination for arm injuries. The analytics department has forced the young kids by pressuring them to have revolution, velocity, and spin rate. It's too much for baby ligaments. When in the minors, I focused on working my ligaments. I never lifted heavy weights. Time has changed, and so has training. But if you want to become a pitcher, you should strive to learn the feel for pitching and the knowledge of what to do with the ball rather than throwing hard. I feel like he's speaking your language.
Spitting it right out of my mouth. Yeah. That's exactly it. We never touched a weight more than 5 pounds was max. Anything you did.
He had all the notes there. He pointed the finger at the analytics department. He talked about the few number of innings that they throw in the minors. Talked about teams demanding that they throw max velocity on everything they throw.
That's a huge one. But these kids they're not ready to push the limit on what they can actually do because they never have to. Just like the kid from Seattle was mad at the team for letting him throw that many pitches. What did he throw, 80-something? It's like, as a starter, I'm going, really? Last year, it was like, oh, wow. I mean, come on. This is what they're taught. You're not, this is where you can go. This is your limit. Well, you know what? There's a lot of different situations out there where there's a big difference between an easy 100 pitches as opposed to a game like Reagan's pitch last night. I mean, that was a stressful 5 innings for him. He had guys on a lot of pitches and pitched his way through it. Now, that's a stressful 100 pitch. Yeah, you're gone. But if you're 100 pitches in the seventh and cruising, I mean, another 20 pitches ain't going to make
any difference. We've seen Lugo have a couple outings like that, right? He's not striking anybody out, but he's pitching to contact. He's just cruising through the game.
Cruising through the game. Because he's getting close to 100 pitches and he's in the seventh inning, you don't have to go to the bullpen. Let the guy finish your game. He's fine. He's cruising.
I like the list of hashtags that Pedro used for his tweets. Hashtag pitching.
Yep.
Hashtag injuries.
Okay.
Hashtag healthy arms.
Okay.
Hashtag take it easy. Hashtag MLB.
That's the part that I find baffling. the term load management is used so much in sports these days. And you, I think NBA is where you heard it the most first, right? People would get mad because, oh, LeBron's sitting this game and the fans are mad because they bought a ticket. But even back in the day when you would watch the NBA, I remember my dad always said, oh, they don't play that hard in the regular season and everything. Well, they can't play at the intensity level. When you watch an NBA playoff game, the intensity level of one of those
picks
games
up. That's why I won't watch the NBA until it gets to the playoffs and beyond, because they don't play really a lot of defense. They don't really go at it super hard. Guys will just
They have to pace themselves.
You have to pace themselves.
As a pitcher, did your intensity level go up when you got into the postseason?
No.
Oh, come on. Mm-mm. You're the first Major League Baseball player I've ever heard say that the intensity level doesn't raise in the postseason.
No, once you cross the white line, it's exactly the same. Because if you take it to the next level, you're not going to have the command. You're not going to have what you're supposed to.
It doesn't mean you're necessarily throwing harder, but intensity, your focus, your concentration, all
that. My focus was there every time because I only got to pitch once every 5 days. So I had to be on. And like last night, you're going to have games like Reagan's had where all of a sudden you didn't have that pinpoint control where your balls are fading to the middle, or but you got to find a way to keep yourself in the game. And that's what he did last night. That's why I was impressed with Reagan's last night. The only thing that scares me is they're talking about, you know, Cy Young. He's had three starts, two not so good, and one dynamite one. If you're going to win a Cy, you have to have four really good ones and maybe one so-so or a bad one.
Maybe let's not put those expectations on the guy who's had
everybody's talking about
really good month as a starter.
Yeah,
you know,
but everybody's talking about
really good this year.
It's been on everything. Hey,
I got him at plus 900.
Yeah, there you go.
but You're shooting a hole in my – everybody else that I've talked to in Major League Baseball always told me that the intensity level in the playoffs goes up. When you talk to NFL players, they've said the same thing. But you
– the worst part about it, Nate
– out of 100%, what percentage were you throwing your fastball at on a daily basis? Were you throwing 100% as hard as you could?
No, not even close.
70%, 80%?
You only went here's the situation is. You're trying to force bad contact to let your fielders feel the ball, if you can. Two pitch, whatever that is. And that's kind of what Lugo does. And if you need a strikeout, that's when you go in and turn it up a notch. But you don't go 100% every pitch, every hitter. You can't do that. You're not going to get through a game, and you're going to end up blowing out.
And that's what they have all these pitchers doing now.
I know that. I would not have gotten drafted because I didn't throw hard enough. You have to throw low to mid 90s to even get looked at as a kid anymore.
So you side with Major League Baseball instead of the MLBPA in this debate, because MLBPA is pointing at the pitch clock, and that's why there's injuries
pitch
are
clock
up
too. But that's beside the point.
But I mean, as far as when it comes to injury. And MLB saying, no, it's the max velocity, it's the spin rate, it's what you're asking these pitchers to do with their arms. You think that's the reason and not the pitch clock?
I really don't think the pitch clock has anything to do with it, to be honest with you.
Could it be both, though? I mean, could it be a little bit of everything? I mean, everyone's looking for just like one. This is the reason why.
I'm not going to the pitch clock situation. No, I think it's stupid. But I don't think that has anything to do with what's
going on.
These
injuries have been skyrocketing for a decade now.
Before the pitch clock, yes. And it's all because of how the kids are trained, what the expectations are as far as velocity and the stupid spin rate crap. I mean, you can tell. If a guy's got a tight hook or not, you know, you don't need a video camera on to tell you how many times the ball rotates to tell if he's got a really good hook. Reagan's has a really good hook. It's tight. And I can tell that by looking at it. I don't need anything to tell me he's got a really good breaking ball.
Does that put more pressure on his elbow?
No, not if you throw it right. No, he throws it right. I'm not worried about his curveball. I'm worried about a cutter because there's that little twist in it, but little snap and turn. His curveball, smooth, effortless. I'm not worried about his curveball at all.
I just wonder...
Are you losing your voice? Are you getting the Stevens disease?
Just a little allergy.
We're only hoping, that's all. That's the same. Well, if you lose your voice, you can't go to New York.
Well, I just wonder... why? What? You can understand why they've done what they've done because they've done the numbers, and when you strike guys out, you have a better chance of keeping runs off the board, and if you have better spin rate,
but you're not going to have starting pitches last very long.
Yeah, like it's like they just don't want to deal with the consequences of their approach.
Yep.
You know, it's like, okay,
The game has changed, and I don't like it because it's all strikeouts and home runs. I like to see Bobby Witt smash to the right center field and look up, and he's already standing on third when they're hard trying to get the ball in. I'm going, holy cow, how'd he get there so fast?
You know the only thing better than that?
Huh?
Home run.
No.
Yeah.
No, I love a triple. I love to see him go around the bases. He is dynamite.
Triple's the most exciting play in baseball.
Oh, my gosh. Not when you're pitching, it isn't. It's not good. The guy's standing 60 foot away or 90 foot away. That's not a good feeling. But, no, it was that last night. I mean, we hit the ball pretty hard early in the game off their pitching, but didn't get much for it. But to me, that was a good game last night. It really was.
All right, something else I want to ask you. There was an interesting story at MLB.com by Jackson Stone. Mm. About the Royals and building team chemistry, and that's
they
one
are in Missouri,
you can, right? Yeah. Well, they can, yeah. And that's one of the reasons. I think you talked about Will Smith being important, and I had someone tell me that they hope it's not the same because he's a reliever and he's just but they hope that Will Smith has the type of impact in the clubhouse that James Shields did.
Okay. I hope so.
And you can see that's real, okay?
I didn't realize how big Will Smith was. He's a big man.
Yeah. That's absolutely. That's what Jay calls a hoss. He's a hoss.
He's a hoss. Yeah, he is, man. I'm hoping he does well. I really do. He's getting towards that end of his career where it's stuff's not quite as good.
And maybe he's not a closer, but he can still help this team.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's what I'm seeing. I would like to see a closer step up and have him be that guy that he's always been. Because he's good at it. He's good at seventh, eighth innings.
So there was, I don't know, and you might say this doesn't mean anything, but there was one interesting thing that I thought I'd ask you about. There was only 7 players from last year's opening day roster are still on this team. So it's obviously a different dynamic in the clubhouse. And one way they addressed that was with the lockers. Instead of putting pitchers on one side and position players on the other, like the Royals had done in the past, the club decided to mix the groups, weaving veterans around all corners of the clubhouse regardless of position. And Michael Wacha said, I played on some really good teams in the past, and one thing those teams had in common was that everyone was pulling for each other, pulling for your teammates, pulling for the guy next to you. Mixing the position players and pitchers, I think it's a great idea because we can learn stuff from them just as much as they can learn from us as well. And he also talked about acting as mentors for Reagan's, Brady, and Marsh. Wacha said, they don't need much, I tell you that. They're absolute studs. Those guys have incredible stuff. I'm just trying to get to know them as people, trying to figure out what they're thinking on the mound and how they're attacking guys and stuff. I've been very impressed with them as people. But off the field as well, they're great guys. And Andy Rogers told the story about how when Marsh was warming up for his last start, Wacha and Lugo, they were standing behind him, watching him very closely, talking to him. I think that's the kind of stuff that you talk about that you like to see and how veteran guys like Will Smith or Wacha or Lugo can be assets in the clubhouse on top of what they do on the field. So what about all those things that...
Love it.
You like it, right?
Okay. I do. 100% right. In Baltimore, my locker mate was Eddie Murray. He wasn't a pitcher.
That's your best friend.
Yeah. He was my locker right next to me. And
he's the one that taught you how to be so nice to the media.
Yes. Yeah.
See, he thinks
Ed's as grumpy as I am.
He thinks that when he thinks of Eddie Murray, he thinks of that. When I think of Eddie Murray, he's the guy that's got all the boxing cards that you had.
He does. He has all my boxing cards.
Wish I could have seen
cards.
A couple of them, but that's fine. Damn it, Eddie Murray.
Joe Lewis. All the guys. Yeah.
Sorry.
I got to call him today. You want me to try to get the boxing cards from him?
Let's take this couple. Let's take a look at him.
I have some thoughts on locker room chemistry from all the years I spent in the Royals clubhouse.
Saw some really bad ones.
Oh, yeah.
And but I also saw some really good ones.
And you also saw James Shields make an impact.
Yep.
But so you... That's real. That's something that's...
Oh, yeah.
We don't talk about it.
Palmer used to come down, McGregor, Flanagan, when you're starting to warm up for a game sometimes. And you'd had a tough start the time before. To try to talk. Not so much your stuff. It's make you believe, hey, they're not going to get... They can't score two runs off you in nine innings.
But also with this team, they've got such important players that are young, like Bobby Witt and Michael Garcia and Cole Reagans, and when Michael Massey gets back up here, and a lot, I mean, Kyle Lisbon, a lot of young guys that could benefit from the guys that they brought in, like Renfro and like Waka and Will Smith and Lugo. So, I mean, I'm glad he included that in the story.
We needed those veteran players. And I understand last year was a supposed year for figuring out what you had. It didn't take much to figure out what you had. It didn't take a whole year to figure out what you had.
I think they knew after a week.
That's beside the point. But, one of the people that's really going to help is Brady Singer, man.
It already has.
Yeah, he doesn't have to be the guy. Right. He doesn't have to even be – you don't even think about him. Singer steps on the mound. Hey, we got all these guys – Reagans and Walker and I mean that you look at him and you're going, he doesn't have to be the guy.
Just go pitch. And it sounds weird, but I think trading Kowar and just it was over. The big four, you can't talk about it anymore. It's done.
And what did I tell you?
We move on.
If you get one guy out of that whole group that they got, well, we got Singer.
And they did.
You got the one guy. That's how it works.
You can talk about it
till you're blue in the face.
I will.
But you're not gonna get all those guys to step up and go, whoa, you're not gonna get your Saberhagen, Gubazon, Danny Jackson. Rarely does that ever happen.
Charlie Lee Rent. Well, okay, we'll stay with the theme when we come back and give your thoughts on what you saw as far as clubhouse chemistry. Because I think this is important.
It is important.
Because we all want reasons to believe that this is real, what we're seeing from the Royals. And
I've seen enough baseball in my life. Stay healthy. It's real.
Well, you didn't see enough baseball last night because you didn't watch 10
minutes. I refuse to watch that crap.
Right.
No.
Well,
no beer league baseball. Nope.
I think there's a chance you saw it. But, you know, we'll agree to disagree. Back after this on WHB.
To the gap. And that'll do it.
Here we go. It was cold. We've done this a lot of times before. It never gets old, just a little bit cold. The crowd loves you. I don't know if you knew that or not, Salvador Perez. Is the water in your ear right now?
It's okay. No se mata. We win tonight.
That's right.
Just wanted to play that for you since...
What, smoking?
You see Jake's song, Smoking? You see, you didn't watch it, so...
I didn't.
Salvi won it. Walk off.
I heard. Yeah. I looked this morning on the phone just to see who won, but I did not watch it.
Nate's going to weigh in on Team Chemistry, but first, I just want to give you some NFL news. Adam Schefter reporting that excellent pass rusher Josh Allen, the Jags' stud pass rusher, has agreed to a 5-year, $150 million deal that includes $88 million guaranteed. And so now the highest paid defensive players in the NFL on a per year basis, Nick Bosa number one, Chris Jones number two, Josh Allen number three.
Great cash, homie.
Pass rushers get paid.
Great cash, homie.
Nate Buchady, you had some things you wanted to get off your ample chest.
Well, we maybe another chance to take a shot at the analytics crew out there if they don't believe that chemistry matters.
I'm here for it.
That's been a debate sometimes.
I will say football analytics are dumber than baseball analytics.
Well, I think that's true.
Soccer analytics. Those are all in here.
Very stupid.
Yeah, I think they might be the dumbest.
That's right.
They all serve a purpose. There's stuff you can glean from all of it, but
it's a useful tool.
Yeah,
baseball makes more sense because there's a bigger sample size.
Well, and also because part of the reason I'm going to get into why I think clubhouse chemistry matters, just from my experience of being in clubhouses for 15 years and watching really good ones and really bad ones. Baseball is a team sport played in an individual context. It's individual matchups. It's batter versus pitcher. You know, so you can look at, you know, you could be on a terrible baseball team and then at the end of the year look at your baseball card and go, I hit 330. I had a great year. If you're a pitcher, you can play on a bad baseball team and go out and post a 3.2 ERA and throw 180 innings and say, I had a good year. Because it's an individual game in a team concept that's different than the other sports. But it's also a sport where you're there every day.
Same guys.
For hours before the game, during the game, you're sitting in the dugout 50% of the time. Or in the bullpen, you're just hanging out all the time in baseball. And it's exhausting. It sounds like it's just a fun day at the ballpark. You just go out there and you're there from 3 until 10 and you're just hanging out. But to bring the energy every single day, there's a reason guys used to take greenies all the time and guys drink Red Bulls and stuff, because you got to bring the energy every single game when you're traveling.
You're entertaining.
Over and over and over
you're,
again.
You're, that's what people pay for. You're supposed to entertain them.
What kind of energy do you have when you're around people you like versus people you hate?
It's very difficult.
It's a very easy place to be to where cliques break out easily. Okay, all the Spanish-speaking guys are hanging out over here. The English-speaking guys are hanging out over here. All the old guys are hanging out over here, and they don't really like the young guys because the young guys didn't have it as tough as they did, and they're hanging out over here. All the pitchers are hanging out over here, and all the hitters are hanging out over here. There's these little cliques. The guys that are in Fellowship of Christian Athletes hang out over here, and the guys that like to go out and party are hanging out over here. I mean, I've seen all those cliques break out. And if you have that, your energy level is just poor. And it doesn't make up for, if you have a bunch of bad baseball players that get along great, it's not going to make you win. I'm not saying that. But when you're at the major league level and the difference between winning and losing, everybody out on the field's a big leaguer. Everybody's a good player. The difference between winning a game like last night versus losing them, I travel with a team that lost 100 games 4 years in a row, and I saw them lose close game after close game after close game after close game. They had no belief. They had terrible energy. You know, and I saw guys like James Shields walk into a clubhouse and change the whole dynamic of it. And so I think that what they're doing is significant. I think it does matter, Bod. I don't know what you think about any of those observations.
I was always believed in team chemistry because I've been on the teams. Most of the teams I've been on, guys got along and we just pull for each other. And you wanted the guy to do even better than you did the next day as a starter.
Yeah.
You know, learn from what I did last night with that team and even do better. And everybody had better stuff than me, so it probably happened. But, no, that's what you want. Because your ultimate goal is winning a World Series, right? 83, we won the World Series. 84, I won 20 games. I had all the accolades and all the other stuff. Now, I felt terrible. It was awful. We weren't back into the playoffs or series. I'm going, This is what you're supposed to feel like, because your goal is that individual stuff's great, but it doesn't cut it. It's not like being in the playoffs and series. I mean, that's where you want to get to. And this team we have here in Kansas City, from what I've seen, we got a chance to get back into the playoff hunt. And that was quick, considering what we had last year. To where we are now. Wow.
That's incredible that we've been talking about this.
Yeah.
And again, we don't know how good they are.
Are we the best team in baseball? No, not even close. But we can compete. We can contend.
But to even be having this conversation after they lost 106 games last year, and they and again, I mentioned it earlier, having seven players carry over from last year's opening day roster.
Tip your hat to the JJ and everybody involved in getting this done, because that's not an easy thing to do, is revamp a team in the middle of, you know, after a year like that. To pull people in, number one, I don't want to go to a team that's that bad. No, I really don't.
They didn't throw the baby out with the bathwater either, though. You know, they kept the guys that they felt like they could build around. They have a good blend of...
Nice. We knew there was a nice nucleus there, especially with position players.
Yeah.
They just needed some pitching, to be competitive. And we are.
But to have that blend of veterans who have won and young guys who have good attitudes... I think they both help each other out, right? The young guys can make those older guys feel young again a little bit, and the old guys give them perspective. And but they have to be the right blend of guys. Because I have covered teams where the veterans are like, these young guys are a bunch of punks and they don't know what they're doing and they're not doing things the right way. And that leads
with
to
no respect kind of, with no right, respect to the right. game. No, yeah, yeah, I've been on those teams too, and it aggravates you.
Bobby Witt Jr. is not that kind of young guy.
No. And that's one of the things I loved about the Orioles this past year when we were out there for the 40th anniversary. These kids were into the history of baseball. They respected what the game was about. They appreciated the guys that went before them. And that's what James Shields brought to the team when he came.
Yeah. And Bobby Witt Jr. already has it.
Yeah.
He was raised that way.
Yeah.
We've got Mike Boudicker in studio. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Mike Boudicker's with us. The Royals beat the Astros 4-3 in 10 innings last night. Now, Seth Lugo will get his chance against the Astros. Tell me, I know you talked about him a little bit earlier, but tell me more about what you like from Seth Lugo so far this season.
The veteran pitcher that knows how to pitch. He knows how to get people out with the least amount of effort, trying to get contact, trying to get the guys to, you know, let the defense help you. Good pitcher.
And he's been predominantly a reliever in his career.
Yeah. But, they aren't expecting 5 innings out of guys anymore, 6 max. So, yeah, he's fine. No problem. Because he's done those 2-3 inning stints like it's effortless. He can start, so, and they groomed him to start, so he'll do good. I'm not worried about Lugo. I'm not worried about Waka. I'm not worried about Reagans. Any of them, really. It's just a matter of health. That's it.
That's what makes you think they can be real contenders, right? If you got a rotation,
good strong rotation. Don't overuse your bullpen, and let these guys do their thing out in the field and knock the ball around, you got a chance. And
especially in this division.
In this division, it's like, yeah. That's why I said I've seen everybody here, and we're as good, if not better, than anybody in the division. We'll see what happens, but it's just a matter of health. Trust me. That's all it is.
And Massey's close to coming back.
Yeah. 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 I like him.
You worried about Pasquantino at all?
No. Mm-mm. He's pressing a little bit. He's trying to do what the other guys are doing. He's trying to do. He's right behind.
Some of those guys will get cold, and he'll get hot later, right? Yeah, he'll carry the lineup for a while.
I'm not worried about Vinny. No, don't worry about him.
Shoulder injuries aren't easy to come back from.
No, they're not. But I'm not worried about him. He's just pressing.
Right.
That's all he's doing. He's kind of caught in between the fastball and the curveball right now, and the breaking ball changeup. He's kind of in between, and he'll get that, and all of a sudden he'll just go on a tear. Relax. He's good.
I'm with you.
Relax. These it's a good team. Fun to watch.
Well, it's almost good. They're winning games without getting production from him right now anyway. You know, because like I said.
You're not going to. Not everybody's going to be hot all the time. That's part of the deal.
Right.
So.
Bourbon raffles right around the corner. BoudickerFoundation.org.
Yeah.
Where can people see that video you showed me? Can they see that?
I think it was it. I don't know. It's on some social media site. I think it's YouTube. It's pretty neat. Yeah, I got a family that we went and met them out at Blue Springs. Great young family. Just fabulous. And they did a little video, not prompted to do it. They just did it on our behalf. And it's Tugs at your heart, doesn't it, Nate?
Yeah, man. It was, I mean, beautiful video, but about the financial strain that's placed upon a family when one of their kids is diagnosed with cancer. And sometimes one of the parents has to quit their job even to be able to help take care of their baby.
Yeah.
And that's the money that you're raising.
Neat family. Real neat family.
Boddicker Foundation.org. Get those tickets.
Yeah.
You go to Boddicker Foundation.org. Bourbon raffle coming up. You click on buy tickets now. And you'll have a chance to buy tickets up until next Wednesday, April 17th. Then the drawing will be held on Monday, April 22nd.
Nate won't be there, though.
Yeah, well.
I'll be there.
Jake will be there. You're going to pick up Nate's slack?
I'll pick up
Nate's
slack.
You spoke that.
I told you it was going to happen.
He said he wasn't going to be there.
I told you. I said, somebody's going to step up and say, oh, Nate, we need you out here in New York to fill in. Mm-hmm. And of course, Nate jumped, man. He just... New York, he's going to dress up in his Elmo costume and go around begging for money, and then he's going to go announce a soccer.
That's right, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Count on me.
Oh, yeah. Right. I know that.
We'll be back after this on WHB.